we turn a blind eye to someone like Liver King, who abused upwards of $13,000 worth of performance enhancement drugs a month because he looked the part. Or there's women who eat less than 900 calories who like promote that, who everyone is like in the comments like, what's your secret, what's that, what's that, and so she has an eating disorder, but no one really complains about that, or no one is concerned about that. Everyone's always concerned about obesity because that's what's demonized.
Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real-life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's show. So I have a question for you. Have you ever felt torn between wanting to take care of your body and being exhausted by everything diet culture has taught you about what that's supposed to look like? If so, this episode is definitely for you, because movement, strength, and health, they were never meant to feel punitive. They were never meant to feel like another place where you have to earn your worth. And today's guest, James Coppola, brings a refreshingly grounded human and sustainable perspective to fitness, one that doesn't rely on extremes, shortcuts, or shame. James has been a trainer since he was a teenager, literally showing up at people's homes with a Bosu ball and resistance band, long before quote-unquote fitness culture became what it is today. With a degree in exercise science, countless certifications, and decades of real-world experience, his work is rooted not just in knowledge, but in care. What makes this conversation especially meaningful is that James also comes from a personal history of disordered eating. That lived experience deeply informs how he shows up as a coach today and why he's so committed to pushing back against diet culture and all or nothing thinking in the fitness world. Along with his wife, James co-founded Zero Shortcuts Training during the uncertainty of 2020. He really built something intentional, values-driven, and deeply aligned with the idea that movement can be supportive, adaptable, and sustainable across seasons of life. In this episode, we're going to talk about what it actually means to train in a way that honors your body, your mental health, and your nervous system. We're going to unpack the difference between discipline and punishment, how fitness spaces can become more inclusive and safe, and what it looks like to move from a place of respect rather than control. So, if you've ever wanted a relationship with movement that feels steady, compassionate, and actually livable, this conversation with James is one I'm really glad you're here for. All that being said, I'm going to go get him and we'll get started. All right, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so I ask all my guests this same question, so I hope you don't mind, but I'd love to hear a little bit about your own journey and then how you got to this place in your career and your life, if you don't mind.
Sure. Typical story of someone in this field, I pretty much found fitness around 14 years old. I was bullied a lot. I finally joined PTA basketball, which was the first kind of exercise I've done, and it's the first time I've had a coach or someone lead me into that life of physical activity and health and stuff. So since I had a lot of things against me, like my weight, I had a speech impediment, like a stutter and a stammer, I had ADHD, so I didn't feel like I was too bright as a kid, I was like, I'm going to work as hard as I can. So I sprinted as hard as I could. I learned as much as I could. And then I joined wrestling, football, track and field. I started having lunch with the phys ed coaches, to pick their brains. And then before I knew it, I was jacked by 15 or 16. And then this pretty much just became who I was or what I had to offer or what I felt like I had to offer. I never became obsessed in the sense that I looked down on other people like a lot of toxic people. I've always kept that part of me that wanted to help people. If I was mean to anyone, I was mean to myself. And I just chased the status and the aesthetics more than health itself. I went into disordered eating at a very early age, and I pretty much carried this into my 20s, early 30s, and I didn't pretty much evolve into who today until about 32, 33 years old. And throughout that time, I got my degree in exercise science, countless certifications. I've held every gym, I've held every job in the corporate gym business. I managed a few gyms in Manhattan. And then when COVID happened, we were furloughed. So we had to take matters into our own hands. So we opened up Zero Shortcuts Fitness Training. And then I knew I had to find a following through social media, which I was terrified about because I was very self-conscious about showing myself and being less than perfect, but I didn't realize I would actually be what got me the following was just being vulnerable and honest and sticking up for people going through the same thing. And everything just pretty much fell into place, and that's what brings me here today.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think it's rare for men to open up about their past with eating disorders. I know that it's becoming more common, but I think there's still that stigma out there that men don't struggle with eating disorders. And so when you said that, I'm just curious, what did that look like for you when you were struggling?
Severe body dysmorphia for one, like a debilitating one where I was always body checking almost every period in high school. I would take the bathroom pass to a mirror that I liked my reflection in on the bottom floor bathroom. And I would wait till everyone would leave to look at my abs. I took off my shirt any chance I got to like be like a clown, but also for validation. I had exercise bulimia. If I ate anything remotely indulgent, I would go run 5 miles. Didn't matter what time it was or if I already had practice and other workouts. I chewed and spit. I went down to 600 calories a day, and I binge drank, I binge ate, I did a lot of party drugs, and I was just very self-destructive, and it never really clicked for a long time that I had an actual problem.
So was there like a moment where you realized, oh, actually this is a problem?
Yeah, at like 2021, I had a bachelor party in Cabo, and it was like 6 a.m., and I was just blackout drunk, and I did a lot of blow, and there was this picture of me that just looked just awful, like my body, my face, everything, and I'm just like, yeah, that's not someone who owns a fitness coaching business, and I just knew that the only way for me to possibly get out of it and not feel like I had to numb myself with either drugs or alcohol or anything was to just meet myself where I was at and be patient with just taking care of myself for the sake of taking care of myself. And I haven't switched back since then. I didn't really have a drug or alcohol problem. I just was utilizing them for the wrong reasons. And I was just trying to numb myself, and I normalized feeling like shit after. So now I can have a few drinks here and there, and I dabble in edibles and stuff, but nowhere near what I used to be. And I don't need to numb myself anymore because I'm living the life that I want to live instead of two separate ones.
It's harder though with the exercise and the food though, right? Because, and I imagine, how is that that in the fitness industry, there's a lot of emphasis on looking a certain way and having a certain aesthetic. And I know a lot of my patients still have that mentality of exercise is solely for weight loss and to look a certain way. And they have a very skewed idea of what health or wellness is. And I know social media is rampant with whatever those are as well. And I'm wondering, like, for you, Was that difficult for you to look at what health was, considering you, like you said, you used exercise and food in a way that was disordered?
Once I made the switch, it was like me kicking myself going, why haven't I done this before? My life is so much better now. And I don't feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. I don't have to impress anyone. I just have to do better than what I did yesterday and be in competition with myself. And I don't have to make excuses for anything that I eat or don't eat. I just always keep in mind how I feel and how I'm going to feel. And in the past, I would just live two separate lives of completely deprived or going balls to the wall. And now I just do whatever the hell I want and I stand by every decision I make. And as long as I keep progressing, getting stronger, faster, feeling better, then I know I'm headed in the right direction.
So curious, like when you get people wanting to work with you and they are really struggling and thinking, if I'm not in this like certain body or like weigh a certain amount, yet they maybe in your mind are actually doing the things that you would consider like to be living a healthy lifestyle, like,
yeah.
Or they really have goals of their only goal is to look a certain way. What would you say to them? Or people listening maybe are going, oh, I only believe that people who are healthy look a certain way. Like what?
There's nothing wrong with wanting to improve your aesthetics. I always make that clear from the beginning, but you need to do it from a place of love instead of a place of hate. And if there's people who are like, I need to get into this body as soon as possible, I'll do anything to get there and stuff, then I don't take them as a client. The majority, or if not all of my clients, just look great as a byproduct of how they treat themselves. And the body is just a bonus at that point. And they're a lot kinder to themselves instead of trying to live up to a certain arbitrary standard that they held themselves to, or they think that they need to have for what? For someone else's validation? Now, like I said, if they want to lose X amount of weight or want to look a certain way, but the context is not toxic, then I walk them through it and I remind them of the progress that they're actually making. Because when someone is that desperate to change, they'll be looking at themselves like a hawk for those changes, especially in their perceived problem areas or the scale or something like that. And they'll disregard the accomplishments they've had with their physical strength, with their stamina, with getting off their medication and their clothes fitting better. And they perceive themselves as losing instead of winning. And then it's harder to keep showing up. So I have to keep their head in the right direction. And so a lot of people confuse that with enabling, which I never understood.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So it sounds like you have different kinds of goals with exercise, more of like strength training. Like, how would you describe maybe the purpose of exercise and fitness?
Sure. So basically, yeah. Someone wants to sign up with me to just feel better and function better and, yeah, sure, look better. And a lot of that comes with how you treat yourself. So your sleeping patterns, your nutrition, your alcohol abuse, whether or not you're overworking yourself and never giving yourself the attention you deserve. And then comes with strength and function, like strength training and cardio and walking throughout the day and movement and like moving throughout the day and actually just feeling capable. And a lot of the times just they don't think that it's in the cards because it's like pulling teeth to get them to stay consistent, but it's mainly because they believe that they were doing it to reach a certain end goal, which is realistically pretty far away. Whereas if they just have attainable metrics to hit on a daily and weekly basis, they can finally feel accomplished and they'll finally be consistent for 6 months to a year, which they never have been because their consistency was dependent on their headspace.
So what do you find like that headspace is that's not it's consistent?
This isn't working. Let me try something else. That's not working. Let me try something else. Oh, damn. Now I feel like shit about myself. I'm going to eat. I'm going to do nothing. Now I have guilt. Now I have to do something about this guilt. I'm going to work it off. And then repeat the cycle. That's typically what happens. They fall into that pattern as opposed to just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Do you think a lot of that comes from the stuff that's out there, like on social media?
Yeah, and media itself. And we're not just talking about morbidly obese. Look at the people who are seen as like the fat friend in movies who's like Brittany Murphy in Clueless, right? Like just like how like media like portrays fat or ugly or anything like that. It makes so many people feel less than when it's just such a bullshit standard. And there's people who fit the mold of having a gorgeous aesthetic or just despicable people. And I just wish the universe saw that more. I see it right away. I know who's ugly and who isn't.
So what's your definition of ugly? For when you say ugly, I know you're not talking about externally, right?
When I say ugly, I mean you, it's your world and everyone else is just living in it. If someone else is hurt by your hand, you can care less if it doesn't affect you. And you say what you want, you do what you want for your own personal gain. You can care less about who's affected by it. And you think that you have a pass due to some sort of status symbol that is invisible to me.
One thing, I looked at your Instagram, and I know you call out a lot of things that you see online, like people who feel the freedom to make comments on people's posts, and to your point, like calling certain people names that may not have whatever standard of beauty there is, but definitely are, there's nothing wrong with them. But it does set the standard of if you're not perfect, people get demonized out there. And I do love that you call people out. Your posts are quite funny. For anyone who hasn't seen them, I'll put your stuff out in the show notes. But what do you make of all of this? There's so much out there that's just toxic. And like, how do you combat that when you get people wanting to come in to work with you that like maybe see all of that and they're so affected by it? And maybe that's their motivation to wanting to work with you or wanting to
exercise. Well, I know how persistent I am and how much I don't back down. And I have I don't have anything to flaunt. My success and everything speaks for itself. My clients speak for themselves. My knowledge speaks for itself. My strength speaks for itself. The people who are typically talking down to people show the world what their worth is. They put it in everyone's face because they're very insecure. There's no world where someone puts people down like that and they feel good about themselves. That's why I hardly market my training, because I'm authentically me and I've been doing this for 20 years and I like to think that shows through my content, and people can trust that I'm not going to talk at them. I'm going to talk with them and understand them, and they'll listen to me before they listen to someone who's trying to tear them down and convince them that they're less than. Those people might be able to manipulate an impulsive decision in the moment, but long term, they're going to see that they could be treated better, even if it's just through content and not even through training.
It sounds like you do a lot of the mindset work too.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people listening are probably struggling with thinking my value, my worth, my happiness is based on how I look on the outside. And I'm wondering, do you find that too? That people are really struggling with, oh, if I don't look a certain way, then I can't be happy or I'm not attractive.
Well, if that was the case, then why was I the most miserable I was with the shredded six pack? Right? It's if people are convinced that they need to look a certain way in order to be happy, then they're not truly happy, especially if it's dependent on external validation and they don't have enough faith in the other redeeming qualities about themselves that they should love and that they should value, but they're putting all their eggs in this basket that frankly could be taken away from you in 2 seconds.
Talk about that a little bit, because I think people might be surprised by that. Oh my gosh, you were ripped and had a six pack. Like, how could you not be happy? You achieved all that. Achieved. I have that in quotes, but
because I wasn't doing it for my quality of life. I was doing it to stop bullies and to be accepted. And all my effort went towards that as opposed to just like anything that could have made me a better man or person. I wasn't a bad kid or anything, but I was destructive. I did black out a lot. Woke up in a hospital like 4 times. Nothing too serious, just was found passed out drunk in different places. And I just had destructive habits. I put myself in a ton of debt because I was always looking for dopamine. And I just always figured, as long as I have my abs, I'm good. And that's the delusion that I told myself. Because I was doing this whole health thing for the wrong reasons. Whereas if I was just at peace with myself, and I treated myself as well as I'm treating myself now, then I think my life could have turned out a lot different. Having said that, it did make me into the man who I am today, so I can't regret it too much. But yeah, there's a lot of people who I can tell are miserable just by their overall demeanor and how they treat people. And there's nothing they can show me, whether it's their wealth or their body, that will convince me otherwise, because I've been there. But I've never treated people bad, thank God.
But it's interesting because it also sounds like, even though maybe on the outside everyone would have looked at you and said, oh, you're healthy, it sounds like you were very unhealthy if you were in the hospital or blacking out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just everyone always asked me, like, what do you do? And I didn't tell them I had exercise bulimia. I didn't tell them that I chewed and spit. I didn't tell them that I lived 2 drastically different lives. I would just say, I work out, and I run, and I do this, and I do that. Wow. And I would know that was a lie.
But I think that is what people believe, though, right? Oh, people that look on the outside a certain way must be so super healthy and exercise.
Yeah, and I will say, because I get this comment a lot, and I hate when I get this comment when I share this, they're like, well, you just didn't know how to do it right. You didn't have to go into a disordered eating, so there's a way to do it. And I'm like, I know. And if I wanted to just be healthy, I probably would have learned how to do it. But I needed to do it as soon as possible, by any means possible, because my intrinsic motivation was just based on me not hating myself or people not hating me. It was all for the wrong reasons. So I didn't have the time to do it right. It had to be now. And I had to punish myself now. And then when I couldn't take it anymore, I binge drank and I binge ate, because I could only take so much abuse to myself, and then I abused myself more after. So.
Did you get to the point where you didn't hate yourself, in your words? Like, even though you achieved
all
that?
Yeah, about 32 years old, so about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But not at that point. You achieved it so fast that it didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. That makes me sad to hear that. Hating yourself is not a good state to be in. Do you ever find that people aren't in this aesthetically, like, whatever, body, and they can still be, like, metabolically healthy?
Yeah.
And,
I know plenty of people who would definitely get fat shamed on social media who are in great shape. They run marathons, they're strong, they're mobile, they just don't care about being as lean as possible. Let's be honest here, what people are talking about when people say that other people are fat. People are fat shamed with literal visible abs nowadays, who just have a roll or two or like a love handle or something. Like, the tolerance is so low. We turn a blind eye to someone like Liver King, who abused upwards of like $13,000 worth of performance enhancement drugs a month because he looked the part. Or there's women who eat less than 900 calories who like promote that, who everyone is like in the comments, like, what's your secret? What's that? What's that? And so she has an eating disorder. But no one really complains about that, or no one is concerned about that. Everyone's always concerned about obesity because that's what's demonized.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I think a lot of times people who are in smaller bodies than they're meant to be in are very unhealthy and at risk for many things, and yet they're praised. And to your point, people in larger bodies, and I've said this on the podcast before, people in larger bodies or what society says is not okay, or according to the BS BMI, you're perfectly healthy. And yet They're told all sorts of things by doctors, by society, they're shamed, they feel like they need to do something. I've heard this all the time. I need to lose weight for my health. And I said, what's wrong? What do you have? There, nothing. But yet there's this idea that I need to do this because.
Yeah. Because yeah. Why? And people throw nuance and critical thinking to the wind because then there's too many variables for them to think of, or not being polarizing enough won't get them clicks, and they need to have a defiant stance and just like fat is unhealthy, like period. And then any time you see an obese person showing any sort of confidence, automatically they're slammed with the body positivity label that they just don't care about their health. And it's just insane to me because 9 times out of 10 is people just existing. It's very rare that I see an obese person saying, hey, don't exercise, don't eat your nutrients. And people have already made up their mind what they think their worth is.
That makes more havoc.
I just like to call them out.
So I'm curious, I have my own opinions, and I've had other eating disorder experts on here talking about the GLP-1s, but I'm wondering how that's playing into the fitness world and maybe even people you're working with. Is it come into your realm at all, or do you have a
opinion? Yeah, I've had a few clients on it. Now, the problem is it's being marketed to thin women who don't need it. And that's where the biggest harm in the fitness and wellness industry is happening right now.
Yeah, like this big miracle drug that, I don't know, I've heard it like, I don't know, it's for type 2 diabetes. And all of a sudden, this miracle drug for, I don't know, everything.
Yeah, it just makes it 10 times easier to stay on a deficit because it just basically prevents you from being as hungry. That's about it. And I get really annoyed when someone decides to go on it and then they lose weight and then people are like, oh, I thought that you were body positive. And it's like, body positive doesn't mean that they wanted to stay fat. It just means that they don't hate themselves for being fat and they shouldn't be hated. And just so many people misinterpret that, and I hate it. Because they sound so sure and they're so off at the same time.
So what would you say to somebody when they get it wrong? Like, how would you help them clarify it in a different way?
So I would say, hey, they're not saying come celebrate risk factors with me. They're saying, hey, I'm a human being. Treat me with respect. I treat myself with respect and I love myself and I love the body that I'm in. I don't love the fat. I love the body that I'm in. Mm. And the fat can come and go, but my love for myself will stay. And it's not up to you to determine whether or not I have confidence or not.
So what should people focus on instead of just the external? Because our bodies are going to change all the time, to your point, right?
I think that changing your habits to the point where they're second nature and you find a rhythm within your lifestyle, then the changes in the body are going to just happen. And then when you have a proper foundation under you, then you can pretty much make the necessary changes you need to dive a little bit deeper, as opposed to throwing things at a wall and seeing what sticks for your overall aesthetics.
Because I think, too, if we're just going into the a little deeper, right? Like, for people, like, focusing on self-esteem and value and worth instead of it being so tied up in the external, like, what mindset stuff do you help people focus on so that they can focus on, like I said, themselves and what their value and worth is beyond this body.
Just basically having a conversation with their future self and realizing that they always feel better after a walk, always feel better after a workout, always feel better when making more nutrient dense like choices. And when you do this on a consistent basis, you finally figure out that they were pretty much just lying to themselves for a long time to avoid the discomfort of feeling like they're failing. But if you switch the narrative to them actually feeling like they're accomplishing something, now it becomes intrinsic instead of like rewards based. So it's just about switching the objective in their head as to what they want to accomplish and why they want to accomplish it, as opposed to fitting a certain mold for other people, which they'll never get unanimous approval on. So the only approval that matters, is your own.
Well, definitely not easy though. For anyone who maybe is struggling right now and they're just maybe in the place you were at where they're using exercise to counteract the calories they're taking in, or they're in a place where their relationship with food is disordered, do you have any words for them as to what to maybe start with to change?
Is your life getting better or worse? And I don't want to hear that you're getting in better shape or you're looking better, so it's getting better. Realistically, is your life getting better or worse? Are you happier? Do you have more quality of life? Is every aspect in your life improving, or is just one improving? If I asked myself that a long time ago, then I would have definitely said, no, my life is definitely not getting better.
People do want, I know you don't promote yourself, like you said, so much, but if people do want to find you, your content, maybe work with you, how can they do that?
So Instagram is my main account right now. It's James_Coppola. And then my TikTok is J_Coppola_fit coach. And I do have a YouTube, but I'm in the process of building it up. It's whatever right now. It's James.Coppola. And my website is zeroshortcutstraining.com.
Awesome. Any last final words before we end?
Yeah, just always make sure that if you want to make a change in your life, do it for you, never for other people, because you'll never be fulfilled, even if you think you are.
Awesome. All right, James, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please rate and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation.